WMFO 91.5 Medford, Boston. Good morning, everybody. DJ D, you are in the mix. The Dance Music Express Music Series, and we're going to kick it off pretty hard this morning. I got a special guest in-house. We are going to kick it with Captain DJ Wendell. And he's got a big show coming up this weekend. It's going to be down at Mix 360 in Malden, Massachusetts on June 7th. So you got to make sure you show up. I'll be there. Of course, he's going to be there. And it's going to be just a lot of great talent there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to do a little interview with him. We'll find out a little bit about him, his life, and his musical career. So stick around. And we got a lot of shout-outs coming out. And don't forget, yes, you know it. Our boats are in the water. That's right. DJ D, MFO 91.5. Your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and y'all need to know that these are the birds. Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and y'all need to know that these are the birds. Hey, hey, hey. What you got to say?
Y'all need to know that these are the birds. Clap your hands, everybody, if you y'all need to know that these are the words. Clap your hands, everybody, if you've got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and y'all need to know that these are the words. Clap your hands, everybody, if you've got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and y'all need to know that these are the words. Clap your hands, everybody, if you've got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and y'all need to know that these are the words.
That I keep coming up with three. You're too much for one man, but not enough for two. Who is he and what is he to you? Is he to you? We'll be right back.
WMFO 91.5 Medford, Boston. Good morning, everybody. Again, DJ D, Dance Music Express Music Series, and you are in the mix. I have in studio with me DJ Captain Wendell. We're going to put him on in a few minutes. He's going to tell us all about his story, his DJ career, and the big event coming up this weekend. So stick around. We just got to get over a few more formalities. We're going to do a couple of things, like a couple of shout outs to my good friend and my number one partner in crime, my baby girl. I'll tell you right now, Simone. We did a big event yesterday. It was just a great time. And happy birthday to our participants. We love them both very much. And what else is happening? Let's see. We got the boats in the water. You know that. So that's going to be happening. Actually, we're on the boats in a couple of weeks. We're doing some stuff. And we have a lot of private cruises. But if it's something you'd like to get involved with us, just send us an email to dancemusicexpress@gmail.com and tell me what you'd like to do, and I will help you out and get you squared away. Or WMFODJD@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to us worldwide, all you need to do is go to WMFO.org, click on listen, and you can catch up with me on Mondays at 11 a.m. And just for some of our earlier listeners today, Wendell and I had to change from Studio A to Studio C, so we're in Studio C working, and it was a little bit of confusion, but we got it squared away. I think we're broadcasting pretty well out there. Looks like we've got some VUs going out via... Anyway, let's see, what else is happening? Let's see, shout-outs. We did Simone and my girl Denise, Erica and Gretchen. We're going to be with them next week. We're happy to be there. And coming up in a few more minutes, it's going to be Captain Wendell.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. It's as simple as going into a chat room and starting up conversations. Chatting seems safe to them, so they're much easier to approach than they would be in person. Once we start chatting, I act as cool and understanding as possible. I wait out their suspicions. The longer we talk, the more they trust me. Usually it doesn't take all that long. When they send me their picture, I tell them how hot they are. A lot of girls have never had a guy tell them they're beautiful or special or smart, so they eat it up. After I have them convinced we're soulmates and I should be their boyfriend and all that, I ask them to meet in person. The trick is never saying we have to meet. You ask them, make it seem like it's their choice. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn how you can protect yourself from online predators. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
And a public service announcement right here from WMFO 91.5. When you are online, you got to be careful. Don't be sending out your pictures and your phone numbers and all that and corresponding with people you just don't know. It's just too dangerous, and you got to be very, very careful. You don't know who they are, and a lot of issues occur that aren't good. So you got to be very careful when you're online. And ladies and gentlemen, I am so pleased to bring into studio with me my good friend, DJ Captain Wendell.
Hey, what's going on, Daryl?
I'm hanging in here. We got to tell everybody, we're sharing a microphone because we only have one mic in Studio C, but we're going to get through this. Don't worry about it. There goes the microphone.
There goes the mic.
All right, so I got to ask you a couple of quick questions. We'll get things going.
All right.
You know, first of all, thank you so much for coming in. We are so pleased that you're here. Unfortunately, Simone couldn't make it. She got another commitment this morning. So she was going to come in and work with me on this. But I want to talk a little bit about your history and, you know, maybe if you want to go a little bit into your childhood, how you started in the business with, you know, DJing and how you wound up in Boston and all that kind of stuff.
Well, actually, you know, my mother was an avid record collector, and she used to collect 45 records from Motown and things like that, and funk and James Brown and all different 45s and long playing albums. So she had a pretty nice record collection. And in the summer times, we'd have the church cookout because we had a big backyard. We'd have the church cookout. And my job was to take the 45s and stack them on the record player. Back then, they had record players with spindles, and you would stack the records onto the spindle, and they would drop down, and then the record would play. So my job was to just keep the music going. Little did I know, that was my intro into DJing. Because years later, I went up, I was in the Air Force, and when I got out of the Air Force, I got out in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, which is Northampton. There was a little nightclub up there called, actually it was a bar, it wasn't even a nightclub. It was called Kennedy's, and there was a DJ there. His name was Deacon Dan, and he had a couple of Sansui speakers and a Girard turntable, and he didn't really mix. He would just stack the 45s onto the turntable, and while he was going from one record to the other record, he would talk. So I would go up and look all through his records and then pull the records aside that I liked, and then I'd wait for him to get drunk at the bar, and I'd go, can I play some records? And he'd say, yeah, go ahead. And then I'd start playing records. So that was kind of my first, you know, introduction into DJing. When I got out of the service that summer, I went down to the Cape, and that's when I met Russell Robot of the Brothers Four. In Falmouth, Cape Cod, right on the Heights.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that. So down at Brothers Four, down the Cape?
Yeah, I met Russell down the Cape. I was playing the harmonica and singing during Golden Joe Baker's, his breaks. He had a band. And the breaks, when they went off stage, I'd go up with my harmonica and a couple of the band members, and I'd sing and play the harmonica. They had three rooms. They had a pub, they had a showroom, and then they had like a mock disco in the back that was just a reel-to-reel with all the latest disco music, which I wasn't really that familiar with, but I knew what was on that reel-to-reel, and we had a mirror ball and one bartender. And he says to me, if you think you can get people to go down to the room, you know, you can drink free all night and hang out. I said, sure. So I memorized what was on the tape. I knew Get Down the Night was on it. A couple of biggies was on that tape. So when people would come up and say, hey, can you play this or play that? I knew it was coming up. I'd say 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But that summer, I actually learned about the music. So when he opened up his club in Nashua, that's when I got my real start, because he bought a console and he gave me the money to go out and buy all the records that was on that tape. And I played the breaks, and then finally they split the room up and gave me my own room. So that's when I actually started spinning the whole night.
Wow, excellent, excellent. And then you went from the Brothers Four to, tell me about your transition up to the Palace, the entertainment complex. How did that come about? What's going on?
Well, actually, I started here in Somerville, Teal Square. The Brothers Four was right in Teal Square.
Oh, okay.
So I was working at the Brothers Four down the Cape and Teal Square. And then when they opened up in Nashua, I actually had moved to Vermont after that first summer. And Russell tracked me down and found me in Vermont and said, listen, we got this big club. It's already opened. And it was in Nashua. It used to be a roller skating rink. And I went down there, and I was just blown away at the size of this place. I mean, 3,000 people.
Really?
Yeah, wow. He had all the bands, you know. At the time, it was like Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Chicago, Herb Reed and the Platters. I mean, all of those, they were just going out from the 60s, and they still drew a crowd. So he had these these bands up there. But eventually he cut the club into three different rooms. The bar, the pub, we had a showroom, and we had the disco, and that's where I was.
Really? And that transitioned into...
Well, I worked there for, from 1975, I would say, to the early 80s, I was working there. I also was working at, on 15 Lansdowne Street, which was a huge club. You know, one of the clubs I used to go, oh my God, if I ever worked here, and I had an opportunity. The owner of Metro at the time asked me if I wanted to come up and audition, and I did. And he gave me the job, so I was working there, and the Brothers Ford down the Cape, and in Teal Square, and Nashua. So I was all over the place.
And you were doing those three every week, the three clubs.
Every week, yeah. I think it was Thursday Teal Square, and then Brothers Ford Nashua on Friday and Saturday night. And if it was summertime, I'd go down to the Cape on Friday and Saturday night. But then when I was working, when the fall came around, then I was working Thursday nights at the Metro, Friday and Saturday nights at the Palace.
Wow, a long time. I wouldn't do three clubs in a 1 week. I don't think, especially now, I couldn't handle it.
Well, I was working Tuesday night Spit as well, so, and we were doing all electronic music at that point.
Really? Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that, but not right now. I want to talk a little about the Palace.
Okay.
So, listen, tell us about the transition into the Palace and what's happening with that.
So, the Palace was kind of cool because I had already was doing the disco there at the Brothers Ford Nashua, and they had the three-room concept, and one day we were all in a staff meeting, about eight or nine of us, and the owner, Russell Robot, who was a genius as far as nightclubs is concerned, it was at the time it was Pat Lyons and Russell who were the king of clubs in New England. Mm-hmm. So Russ said, what are we going to do next? And he said, oh, you know, we want to get something real big with more than three clubs in it. And he said, he gave everybody a legal pad, and we had to write down our ideas about a club, the ultimate club. So everybody's writing down, you know, the club that have a showroom and have a disco and have a country room and had that room and all of these different ideas. And at the end of the meeting, Russell said, well, I guess I have my homework cut out for me. And he went on a search to find a club that he could build that sounded like this club. And he ran into Chateau de Ville with Mario.
Oh, is that right?
And Mario didn't want to sell the Palace to him. I think Chateau de Ville. I says, hey, Russ, how'd you get him to sell? And he said, I made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And the rest was history. I mean, we flew down to New York, you know, when they were designing the place. Mm-hmm. I was known for blowing up sound systems. You know,
I have a little experience with that.
I try to blow the bass speakers up as soon as I got in here. What kind of sound you got in here? I try to blow it up. So he goes, I need a sound system that's window proof. And so I said, there's only one. That's Richard Long in New York. He did Studio 54. Larry Levan, he did The Garage.
Yep.
And, I mean, his sound systems were, you know, $500,000. And I said, Russ, even to talk to the guy, I found him. And I said, this is, you know, Wendell from the Palace in Boston. And the owner wants to talk to you about buying the sound system. And he says, tell him to send a check for $500. This was the secretary. He said, tell Russell to send me a check for $500 and I'll answer the phone. So I went to the office. I go, Russ, I go, he wants $500 for you just to talk to him. So he calls up Debbie. He goes, Debbie, cut him a check. And next thing you know, we were on our plane to Studio 54, and we went in, walked right in. I mean, the guy was like a god when he walked in. But I'd never heard. Before we went into Studio 54, he said to us, your ears will never be the same again. And he was right, because when I walked in there and heard that sound system, I knew what perfect sound was.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah, that was a nice room, huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I never made those days.
You never made?
No,
well,
I
you know,
I
if
did.
You went to the Palace and you were in Officers Club, that was a Richard sound system. And the sound system upstairs was a Richard sound system. The rest was the sound company out of Watertown, Bruce. He did the rest of the club, but the main rooms had the Richard Long sound system, those big Berthas, you know, the big speakers people used to dance on them.
Yeah.
They were huge.
Yeah.
The Americana speakers, the tweeters. And Bob Lobe did the lights. He did Studio 54 as well, Light Lab out of New York.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the signature club in New England. People would come from miles around to go to that place. He did all kinds of different promotions. He put a spaceship in there.
Yep.
One time he just put a truckload of sand and made a beach out of the place. I mean, he had a what was that flying saucer? Remember the flying saucer?
I remember
saucer?
That, yeah. Yep.
That thing would come out. So, and then he had the male dancers. He was the first to do the exotic male dancers, which is a whole phenomenon by itself. So the Palace, you know, had a great reputation. No one had ever seen nothing like that. And it lasted for 20, 25 years.
Yeah, it was a nice run. It was a great... I think is the building still there? I'm not sure.
No, it's gone. It's Lowe's now. Mm-hmm. It's Lowe's shopping center now.
Oh, it is a shopping center, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's also Boston Sports... BSC, I think they are.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Yes, yeah. You're right.
Right there. Yeah. There's another club there, too, the Vogue, you know, for the older crowd.
Is that gone? Or is that
that's still gone.
Yeah, that's gone.
Yeah. He bought the Vogue. When he owned the Palace, he bought the Vogue.
And that was across the street, wasn't it? The
Vogue? Right next door.
Oh, was it next door? Okay. Yeah.
Kind of an old folks bar. You know?
Yes, I remember that now. It's coming back to me.
Yeah, a real dive bar.
Yeah, Last Chance Saloon.
Yeah, that's the place. And then all the houses that surrounded the place, when they started complaining about the noise, he just bought all the houses.
That's one way to handle the problem. You know, I'd like to talk a little bit about your band. I guess we had a band going on. Frequency X, let's talk about that.
Let's see, the 80s was when I started using electronic instruments. I used to buy all my equipment, my keyboards and samplers and all that stuff. I bought it from Daddy's Junkie Music Store at Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that was working there, his name was Ray Castaldi, he sold me all my equipment. And then I said, why don't you come over to the house and show me how all this stuff works. And from him showing me how it works and us sampling things, we did an electronic group called Frequency X. We put records out and we did remixes. But mostly what we did was we set all the keyboards up in the DJ booth and then mixed from the records into the electronic equipment. And that actually, we've got a YouTube video. It's called Captain Wendell, the first electronic DJ. If you're on YouTube, you can look that up. And that's 1987. So we were actually doing electronic music in the 80s live from the DJ booth without the laptops. We were using sequencers at the time.
Yeah, I was going to ask a little bit about that upcoming movie. I see we have it listed on our thing.
It's actually out. It's been out for years.
Yeah?
It's been out, at least 20 years.
And how do we see that again?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
It's called Captain Wendell, the First Electronic DJ. And it takes you in the DJ booth. And the cameraman is the late Joe Verange. He was a great videographer, and
okay.
You know, he was during those MTV days, so he had that style of shooting video, and you know, because the Metro was a video club, so you know, he would actually, between him and the other video guy, they would actually design videos, and he would shoot groups that would come in. They had all the great acts from Prince, you name it, they performed there at the Metro.
Yeah. And what about Spinoff? We have a thing going on with the Spinoff thing. You want to
talk about? At the same time I was there on Lansdowne Street, what's his name? Foster and his wife, Jillian. Steve Foster, that was his name. Steve Foster and his wife, Jillian, had this place upstairs, big room on the corner of Lansdowne Street and Ipswich Street.
Yep.
and it was the entire top floor, and they put a roller rink in there. It's the biggest roller rink in practically in the world. They had what they call a floating wooden floor. It was unbelievable. And that's when the roller skating craze came out. People started roller skating. So, funny story. Friend of mine, Jeff, who worked in the pro shop, one day, you know, we were really becoming real good at skating. And one day he said, listen, he says, let's take these skateboard wheels and put them on our indoor skates and go outside. And I said, that's an incredible idea. Let's try it. So we took the skateboard wheels and we put them on our indoor skates.
Yeah.
And we went outside and the rest was history. Because everybody wanted to do it. So we had a whole crew of people that were converting their skates to go outside. And after that, I mean, we were doing crazy stuff, you know, getting pulled by buses down in Kenmore Square because people had never seen anything like that, you know what I mean? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I remember that club back in the day, and then Kenmore Square was wild.
Oh, man. Yeah, Narcissus, Lipstick.
Yeah, you're right. I remember those, yep. So let's talk a bit about your... Well, let me ask you this. Is there something else you'd like to talk about while we're here?
No, I mean, that's pretty... It's been 50 years, so... I mean, the evolution of music and equipment. You know, you started out with turntables. Now it's all MP3s and beyond, and it's all different ways of spinning right now. I see these guys coming into town. They've got the heavy equipment. I mean, I don't see a lot of dancing anymore. I don't know, jumping around, pumping your fists, waving your arms. I don't know. It seems that the new era DJs are into the more of the electronics of it, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
I call them push-button DJs because, you know, they've got the samplers at their fingertips. I mean, they can really manipulate the music. I mean, with the influx of stems... If you don't know what stems is, it's, you know, the ability to pull the vocals, the drums, the bass, pull every aspect of the song you have control of. And it's, you know, guys are just coming up with some incredible ideas.
It's amazing. And the thing about stems I like, suppose you're at an event and somebody comes up and says, you know, I can sing a song, or can I sing
exactly
a song? You know what, you can throw it on. You don't have to run for a karaoke thing. You
That's
can just
right.
pull out the, you know,
pull the vocals right out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a different, the stuff they do today on the electronic boards, you know, the controllers, we used to do in the clubs.
Yeah, we used to do that. I mean, the amount of energy that we had to do, because we only had maybe 16 seconds or 7 seconds of sampling time.
Yep.
So what we would do is we would sample it at 45 and all the way up on the slider, and then once we got the sampler in, then we would slow it down to speed, so that would give us, you know, more sample time. So we would fill up the keyboard with samples. Now those samples that we were doing are now the little pads that you see on the mixing board, and now they have actually dedicated modules that do all the sampling, and you really have complete control of what you're doing. And if you're a guy who can scratch too, I mean, the possibilities are endless. Some guys get a little carried away.
Yes, right.
Some of the older guys don't like the sync mode where you can actually sync. The problem is you got guys or girls, like, for example, when I saw Paris Hilton DJ, and I just, oh my God, what is this?
I know.
And, you know, a lot of her stuff was pre-recorded, but a lot of guys come into town, their stuff is pre-recorded, but then they manipulate it. A lot of the newer guys are using sync mode, so you can sync the songs together. The older guys don't really like that, but then again, I've seen older guys sneaking and doing it, you know what I mean?
So listen, you know, if you get caught in a bind,
you gotta,
that's right, you know. I have my girl with me yesterday, and I was showing her the sink and how to sink and how the sliders and stuff, and I said, I'm gonna teach you how to cheat, and I showed her the sink button.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, if you're syncing one song into the next, and it's electronically beat matching for you, now you can extend that to the point where, okay, you've got the end of one song looped, then you've taken all the elements out. You've got the intro of another song looped, and you've taken all the elements out. and you lock them together, on the third and the fourth turntable, you could play in acapellas, you could be scratching. There's all kinds of different things. So, your possibilities are multiplied 100-fold with the latest equipment and technology. You know, it's just amazing what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing DJs do.
When I'm teaching, I tell them, you know, if you're near the end of the song and you don't know what you're going to do next, grab a quick loop. Just loop it. And then you could go to the bathroom, come back an hour, go get a hamburger, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And then I do that all the time. Yeah. And if you get stuck, but then you can, you know, blend into the next song, mix in, it's great.
Older people want to hear the whole song, you know, the young crowd, they're not really keyed in on how long the song is if you're talking about the up-tempo rave style music, you know.
Yeah, right.
The younger kids, when you're going into the slower hip-hop beats, some of them like to hear the whole song, especially the girls. They want to hear the song.
Yeah.
If it's a good song, hear it, play it.
Yeah, usually I think on the second break of the song near the end is a good time to snap it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you miss that point, you still got the tail. You get you get the fade out song. Well, you know what? We have a big event coming up on June 7th. Did you know about that?
Yeah, we're doing another Palace Party reunion at Mix 360 in Malden. We got some headliner DJs coming up. We got Bruno coming in. We got Tad Bombi's going to be there. Ricky Naples from the BBC is going to be there. I'll be there. And it's all hosted by J.J. Wright.
I know, it's going to be a great night. And we have a guest coming in. We have a guest performer. We'll talk about her a little bit.
And we have Angel Mercado from the Cover Girls. She's the original singer, lead singer for the Cover Girls. They sang Show Me and what was the other one? Show Me and Because of You. And she actually sang those songs when she debuted. Her career, she did that at the BBC at the Palace.
Is that right?
That's
wow.
Right. She did that song at the Palace. That was their debut performance. So it's almost like she's coming home. So she's going to be there. She's going to do a couple songs.
Great, great. Anyone else? We have any other guests coming in?
No. I think Joey's going to make it. You know, we're pushing for Joey. He says he's got some stuff coming up. So I don't know if he's going to make it, but...
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so, too. You know, he was talking to me yesterday, and, you know, he said something's coming up. He's going to try to get out of it because we've been pushing him. So we'll see what happens.
Now, you just did a show with Joey a week or so ago?
We just did the Volt show with Fred Bement, and that was a great show. It's really different. He takes the disco records, and he's using stems. And so he takes the vocals out, you know, and he takes the instrumentation out, and he brings in live performers to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do the singing, they do the Tramps, Vicky Sue Robinson, they do some old stuff, like Mr. Big Stuff, and, you know, old classic disco. And they really, in the horn section, is just incredible.
Yeah.
The two girls that they have are great singers. So it's just, it's a unique show, and it's very entertaining. Fred really did it right.
Yeah, I saw you guys on, I think, what's it, YouTube I saw you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it was a nice piece.
Yeah, it's on TikTok, too. It's on everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He's got another show coming up in Worcester, I believe, next week.
Okay.
I forget where it's at. You could probably Google it. It's Volt is the name of the group.
Oh, yeah, is that right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, he spins the 45s. It's amazing.
Yeah, he uses the Serato and he uses the XDJ. Yeah.
Oh, he does, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
When Joey was performing, Joey was using turntables. So he had the turntables and he had the XDJ mixing board.
Yeah. I think the last time we did the Palace event, he spun the 45s. Yeah.
That's all he does.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Remember the back in the day when we'd be doing a nightclub, you got to lug in your records. I would lug in so many records. I was exhausted by the time I got up to the 50th floor. Insanity.
A few years back, we had Dan Delato, and he had all his records with him. And Danny carried all his records up. And I said, Dan, I go, look at all those records. And I showed him my little flash drive. I go, I got all your records plus 10 times the records. He couldn't believe it. But that's where we're at. DJs don't carry records.
Oh, it's a different...
Some of them do. I mean, a lot of guys still use the vinyl, but nowadays it's the MIDI time code that they use to trigger the MP3. So it's a vinyl record, but it's got MIDI time code in it that reads, you know, the record, and it's just like playing the record.
Yeah, yeah. God, it's a different world today. I did two weddings in China, one in Hong Kong and one in Guangzhou. Mm-hmm. I went there with a laptop and a hard drive the size of a deck of cards.
Mm.
You know, instead of no records, none of that foolishness, you know.
Wow.
It's incredible. Oh, my God. I kind of like it, to tell you the truth.
Well, I don't like carrying records.
I know. Those days are gone.
But a lot of guys still do.
Well, let's talk about your media platform. If people want to reach out to you and find out more information, and let's give them a little more information on the
upcoming... Well, you know, we do have the first, we got the Palace Reunion Party .net, and then we have the Palace Party .com, and then we have our Palace Nightclub Facebook page. Now, there's another one. It's a Palace Nightclub Saugus, I believe it is. That's not our page. That's someone else. That's another DJ who's got a Palace page as well. But the page that I'm in and I'm involved with is the Palace Nightclub Facebook page, and it has all the pictures from all over the years that people shared. It's got upcoming events and everything. So go over there and check it out.
And the address of the club and the location?
It's Mix 360. It's on Broadway in Malden. I don't have the exact address, but you can't miss it. It's the town line, and inside the town line is the Mix 360 nightclub. Beautiful club, lot of lights, great sound system, great bartenders. It's just it's great. And that night, I think they have a UFC thing going on outside, so they have a big screen outside. And
wow.
Yeah, it's a real nice club. It's exactly a quarter of a mile up the street from where the Palace was.
Wow.
Yeah.
And tickets are available?
You just go to Eventbrite, put in Palace Nightclub or Palace Reunion Party. Make sure it's the Mix 360 one with DJ Captain Wendell.
And parking is free?
Parking is free.
All right. Plenty of parking. I'm familiar with that. I'm a little bit familiar with that club now.
I'm sure you
are. We ain't going to get into that. That's a whole other interview.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Any other things you'd like to add?
No. I mean, come on down and hang out with us. We go nostalgic for one night.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. With DJ Captain Wendell right here on WMFO 91.5 in Boston, the Dance Music Express Music Series. And musically, we're going to start off with some of the disco back in the day. And you know what? We are going to do our pre-noontime workout, and it's going to be You're in the Mix with DJ Captain Wendell. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to put him to work. He's going to mix it, and he's going to do the pre-noontime workout. Check us out Saturday night. We're going to be there June 7th, Mix 360, Malden, Massachusetts.